Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you speak to us. And we ask, Lord, that as we consider 1 Corinthians and what you have to tell us about singleness, that you'll give us ears to hear this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In the movie Jerry Maguire falls in love with Dorothy. It's a typical romantic comedy where Jerry does everything he can to win over the girl. And he has this memorable line where he barges in on a social gathering and says to Dorothy, amongst other things, "I love you, you complete me." And at that point, you get out the tissues and you long inwardly to be loved so completely by someone. The person not in a relationship wonders whether they'll ever find that guy or that girl. The person who's in a relationship wonders why their romantic relationship isn't so magical. Jerry Maguire teaches us that we are to be fulfilled and complete through a worldly relationship. We need someone else to bring that fulfillment, that our sense of identity, our dignity, our purpose would be more fulfilling, would be more amazing if we had that relationship with that other person. But like many things that our culture teaches, it's actually a lie. And even in the church, often our view on relationships comes from culture, not from God's word. And so we're going to spend 2 weeks looking at relationships and God's good design. Today we're looking at singleness and next week marriage. And it's important that we do spend some time thinking about singleness because, as one commentator helpfully points out, about 35% of our church population over the age of 15 are single, either never married, divorced, separated, or widowed. If you imagine a church of 100 people, that's 35 people who potentially feel lonely, frustrated, totally fine, and everything in between. It's a significant group of people. Yet singleness in church is not something that we often talk about. But we should. The Bible has a lot to say on singleness. Jesus, our Savior, was single. Paul, who wrote this letter and half the New Testament, was single. And what we'll see today is that singleness is a good gift from God to be used for his glory. Now, the Bible really has two kind of relational categories. It has the category of single and the category of married. And the category of single covers people who are young and not married, those who are engaged to be married, those who have married but are no longer married, and those who are widows whose husbands have passed away. So what does the Bible teach about singleness? Now, just before we jump in, I just want to draw your attention to two resources. Dani Truick, she's done a lot of work in thinking about what the Bible says about singleness. My days of singleness ended 19 years ago. So I found reading these books written by her really helpful, particularly The Single Ever After. That's a very accessible book and a good starting place. And so if you then go and listen to the recording of this sermon after having read her book, you will notice that I have relied quite heavily on her work. So I recommend those to you. Now, the first point this morning is that the most important relationship status that we have in life and for the single person, for the married person, is actually our relationship with Jesus. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, "You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." Our relationship with God matters so much that Jesus came to buy us. In verse 20, "You were bought at a price." See, humans, you and me, we sin against God. We have a debt of sin that deserves punishment from God. But Jesus came and he paid that punishment for us. He bought us. He ransomed us. Imagine that you had hundreds of thousands of dollars that you owe to creditors and you just cannot pay it, to the point where you need to go and declare bankruptcy. And then a generous benefactor comes along, he's got your back and says, "Don't worry, I've got this. I'll pay the creditors. I'll get you out of trouble. But then you have to come and live and work for me." Well, that's what Jesus does for us. When it comes to God, we've got our back to the wall. And all we can do is declare bankruptcy before God. Our debt of sin and rebellion is so big, too big. But Jesus comes. He pays the debt by dying on the cross and cancels that debt. He buys us. And so when we put our faith in him, we are his. And this is a good thing because Jesus brings us into relationship with himself, with the Trinitarian God. What matters more than any relationship in this world is our relationship with Jesus. Because only Jesus brings us back into relationship with God. And so we need to make sure that we do not believe the lie that a worldly relationship can fulfill only what God can give. Relationships can easily become an idol for both single and for married people. And often marriages break down because one person idolizes a different type of relationship than the one that they're in. As a single person, you might catch yourself thinking, my life would be better if I had a relationship. My problems would be solved. It just if that person over there fell in love with me, if someone like Jerry Maguire or Dorothy burst in and said to me, you complete me. And that if that happened, you'd be fulfilled and complete. But it's a lie. It can't complete and fulfill you. Only Jesus can give us life to the full. And so the most important relationship status is our relationship with Jesus. Now, our second thing that we're going to look at this morning is that singleness is a good gift from God. I turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 in your Bibles, and in verse 7, the Apostle Paul writes, I wish that all of you were as I am, but each of you has your own gift from God. One has this gift, another has that. Now, the logic of the passage here is that singleness is a gift from God, as is marriage, is a gift from God. And Paul has the gift of singleness, and he desires that all be single like him. Now, this is not talking about the gift of singleness like it's sometimes unhelpfully talked about today in Christian circles, as in someone who is single but also is satisfied to be single for the rest of their life, who has some kind of super spiritual contentment so that they're not desiring a relationship. It's not talking about someone who is just super self-controlled with their desires and passions. No, this is talking about the gift of singleness given to you because you are single. Just like marriage is a gift to those who are married. Now, you might not enjoy being single. You can long to be married. You can be discontent in your singleness. And yet your singleness is still a gift from God. That might be hard to hear. But do you see what Paul is saying here? He's saying that it's actually a good thing. I wish that all of you were as I am. Paul sees the gift of being in the situation of single as one he wishes that more people would embrace. Now, why is singleness a good gift? Now, that's a good question. Well, firstly, singleness is a good gift because it points to our eternal reality. When Jesus was questioned about marriage and the resurrection in Matthew 22, the Sadducees were there. They were trying to trick Jesus, and they came up with this riddle. And here is the riddle. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, verse 24. The Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection, said, Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for him. Now, there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died. And since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and third brother, right down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? And at the Sadducees at this point are thinking, Jesus, we've got you on this one. This is so tricky. But listen to Jesus' answer. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. In eternity with Jesus, there is no marriage between each other. The church will marry as the bride of Christ, but marriage like we practice it today will be gone. And so a single person living in relationship with Jesus today shows us how we will all relate with Jesus and with the church family in all of eternity. There will not be exclusive relationships between each other, like in marriage. In glory with Jesus, I will not be married to Beck. Instead, we will all love each other perfectly as brothers and sisters in Christ. We will all be intimately connected as a family, saved by Christ. And so there is actually an inherent dignity about being single, that reveals to us now God's plan for glory as we look ahead to the new heavens and the new earth. And we get a glimpse, a taste of that now in the church. This quote from Danny Truick, I think, captures it nicely. The married Christian specializes in pointing us towards the gloriously intimate relationship which the church, that is all of us together, will enjoy with Christ forever. The unmarried Christian specializes in pointing us towards the gloriously intimate relationships we will enjoy with one another within the church forever. And because of this dignity, because of this is pointing forward to us, showing us what glory is going to be like, we need single people in the church amongst us. It is a good thing. It's why Paul can thoroughly embrace the words, "Remain as I am." Singleness points to our eternal reality. Secondly, singleness is a good gift because it avoids a worldly worry. Now, the passage we're looking at now is 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 32, which reads, "I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord, but a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit, but a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband." Now, every one of us is called to have undivided devotion towards serving Jesus, but Paul is saying that married couples have an added pressure, an added worry, taking their focus off Jesus. And the pressure, that added pressure, is living to please their spouse, concerned about the affairs of this world. And we need to make sure that we read this and recognize that it's actually not a good thing. Because the world in 1 Corinthians doesn't acknowledge God's wisdom, doesn't acknowledge God's power. There is always a temptation in marriage to be concerned more about pleasing our spouse than God. A couple of examples might be to not come to church one Sunday because your spouse doesn't feel like it. Or the temptation to rely on your spouse rather than Jesus when the going gets tough. Paul is saying, singles, you don't have that pressure. You don't have that particular worry. You're not committed to one person in the same way, and so you're freed from that to have undivided attention and devotion to the Lord. And so there's an encouragement then to use the time that has been given you to be devoted to the Lord, to serve Jesus in all that you do, in your work, in your friendships, in the way you use your time, your pleasure. But I think Dani Truick she's helpful again on this topic. She highlights that single people are often still very busy, saying married people are not the only ones for whom life is complex. I think there's a myth and a lie that we often believe that a single person does have more free and disposable time, and that may not necessarily be the case. Now, as we think about this gift of singleness, it's worth acknowledging that we as a church, our church in Kununurra, but also as a church in general, have not always been good at embracing this gift of singleness. We might still not be. I've heard from single people in the church, in our church, how they felt left out, how they don't have at times feel recognized, that at the church level we tend to focus on marriage and raising families in our sermons and application, but not necessarily on being single. At the social level, single people often feel excluded from social situations. And if we have played a part in that, we need to repent and we need to seek God's forgiveness. Because we've devalued the person that Jesus has bought by his blood, not recognizing God's gift to them. Danny Truick, a single person, says, "It's not enough for my married friends to tell me to just be content in Jesus when they don't lift a finger to do what Jesus cannot do for me right now, to give me a hug, to talk to me over a meal, to look after me when I'm poorly, to advocate for me when I can't speak for myself. I need them not only to help me see that my singleness is good, but to help me experience my singleness as good. Now, thirdly, singleness is a good gift because time is short. I look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 29. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not, those who mourn as if they do not, those who are happy as if they were not, those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep, those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Time is short, the world is passing away. See, we actually still live in a sinful world. And sometimes the gospel reality of the completeness that Jesus brings to our life is not often our felt experience. We have a longing for something more. We long for the brokenness in our world to be gone, the hurt in our hearts to be filled, the loneliness we feel to be soothed. I have a friend, not at this church, who is a committed Christian and single, and he struggles with being lonely. He knows the truth of the gospel, but he's also very aware of his own brokenness and the brokenness of the world that he lives in. And he doesn't feel much joy. Now, maybe you feel like this. Maybe you feel melancholy. Maybe you're angry at God because of the lot you've received in life. You don't want to be single. You're frustrated. You'd love to be married, but God has not provided a spouse, or something in life hasn't gone the way that you would have hoped. Well, how good the time is short. How good that Jesus is coming back and that this world is passing away. That brokenness will be healed. Time is short. We need to make sure we don't let the dissatisfaction, the feelings that we have, define who we are. Because our feelings don't change the value that we have before God. Jesus died on the cross to buy us so that we would be complete and fulfilled in him. It's like this world is a YouTube ad. YouTube ads are super short, aren't they? Designed to make me want KFC. But in the scheme of a day, they're just a blip in time, and you only watch them so you can watch whatever film or video that you want to watch. We're like that ad. Our time here on earth is short. We're waiting for the main event, eternity, secured for us in Jesus. And so we all need to live with undivided attention to Jesus. So singleness is a good gift from God. Now lastly, just this passage in 1 Corinthians 7 does give some practical advice for living as a single. Firstly, it's okay to get married. It's not sinful in verse 28. Our marriage, we'll see next week, is also a good gift from God. But if you do marry, make sure that you marry someone who is in the Lord in verse 39. Someone who in marriage will help you grow and flourish in your Christian life. But also remember, as you can think about marriage, to consider Paul's encouragement. Time is short, Jesus is coming back, and remain as you are. And know that marriage won't solve all your problems. If you do marry, you're marrying another sinner, and that likely will create worldly worries. But it's okay if you do want to marry. Secondly, keep sex for marriage. This is part of living with undivided attention to the Lord, is that sex is to be kept exclusively for the marriage relationship. It's God's design. We're bought by Jesus, and 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 says, "You are not your own, you are bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies." And one of the ways that we honor God with our bodies, if single, is by keeping sex for marriage. It's also one of the ways that we honor God with our bodies in marriage too, by keeping sex for marriage. And it means that no matter how strong the temptation, abstain from sexual intimacy for the sake of honoring Jesus. Now, this is hugely countercultural, but Jesus was countercultural, wasn't he? And God gave us these boundaries for our good, so that we would look to the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus doesn't call us to fit in with the world, but to stand out for him, which means keeping sex for marriage. And it's worth saying at this point as well that de facto relationships are not marriage relationships. Government data shows 83% of couples in Australia now live together before they get married, and that less couples are now choosing to get married. But that is not God's design for marriage and sex. And so if you're in a de facto relationship and you're a Christian, you actually fit into this category of single. And so it would be worth, if you are in that situation, talking to someone and considering either leaving that de facto relationship or separating for a time, and very seriously consider getting married. But we also need to remember that our God is a God of grace. That where we fail, where we've not honoured God with our bodies, married or not, that grace and forgiveness are found in Jesus. He will forgive us. The last thing about living as a single is to be a prophet. Our world idolises relationships. Jerry Maguire, you complete me. As a single person, you have an opportunity as you live for Jesus to show that you have dignity and meaning as a human that is not dependent on a worldly relationship, but dependent on Jesus. As you seek to live for God in your singleness, as you choose not to marry just anyone, but to hold out for the Christian that will help you grow in Christ, as you honor God with your bodies and keep his command to keep sex inside marriage, that actually sends a very powerful message to our world, to your friends, to your family. You will be Jesus's light, not only showing the church what our eternal relationships look like, but showing our culture that the culture's idols of relationships and finding completeness in them won't deliver, but that Jesus does. Now, if I've said something that has maybe raised questions for you or something that you'd like to talk about further, I'm going to make myself available after the service. Please come and chat with me. But also let me encourage you and encourage all of us to look to Jesus and to know that singleness is a good gift from God to be used for his glory.